Okay, the next thing on the agenda is a discussion, an open Q&A with the three managers of the stations that are not our focus stations. We've actually already talked to them a little bit during the staffing discussion. That's Eva, Ron, and Lemlem, who is not here. So since Eva and Ron are here and Lemlem is not, perhaps we could spend maybe 30 minutes instead of the 40 and take back 10 minutes we've lost during the day. Would that be acceptable to people? Okay, so we have, it's basically an open Q&A for any questions people might have about anything going on at WPFW or KPFK. And I see Rip first.
Just I have a question for Eva. I noticed, Eva, on the schedule at KPFK...
Hang on just a second. Let's sure. Wait till everybody's
okay.
Able to pay full attention to it. Okay, go ahead.
I noticed that on the schedule at your station that you have a half-hour news show that you describe as bilingual. And I'd like to know whether you feel that that show is successful given the dual language approach that you're taking there.
Are you talking about Pablo San Fronteras? It airs at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's the second year of the show. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's a very successful program. The same people that produce Pablo San Fronteras also produce the midday program, and it's definitely one of our strongest news programs on KPFK. But it's more interlingual than what it is bilingual.
Okay, but the idea that two languages are actually presented during the newscast, that's true?
Yes, absolutely.
For the benefit of sister stations that do fundraising around the individual shows, could you speak to the success of that show in fundraising?
News on KPFK in general don't raise a lot of funds because of our decision to keep our news during our fund drives. So we don't generally preempt the news. We create different formats during the newscast. So in the past, we used to raise money with our news programs, but the comments from our listeners over the last few years were that they wanted their news, so we maintain our news presence during Fund Drive.
This is Arena.
Thank you. I wanted to ask Ron. I read the report, and one of the things that I see missing that was not on the WPFW manager's report that I seem to see with the other stations is a real involvement with youth and some fundraising ideas or some plans for the rest of the year to be able to reach out or do outreach for people, the listeners, for the board, the LSB, and others to be involved. Basically, the report just talks about our unfortunate shortfall in this last pledge drive. So I would like to ask, what are we doing or what are we going to do to begin to motivate or encourage our listeners and our LSB to do some things that seem interesting, creative, fun, and bring in some money?
As far as motivating the LSB, you know, PFW, the LSB at PFW has its share of issues also. You know that. As a person involved with outreach at WPFW, I know that you have been involved with our development director to plan, you know, various things to outreach to our community and such. We've got several events coming up that would, including Dr. Joy LeGru, Greg Palast, another young lady named Catherine. Oh goodness, forgive me. The these are book talks, discussions. Paul Robeson Jr. Is another event that we're looking at bringing into town. There are a number of events that we are going to be doing over the summer and over the months to generate outreach and such. The reason why my report focused on this particular drive is because we have had such a successful track record of our fund drives. But there are issues out there also. And I focused on those issues that we're going to have to overcome to sustain the kind of growth and sustain the kind of successful fundraising that we've been privileged to enjoy over the past 5 years. I outlined some of those issues because there is no one answer to any of these. There are several answers. The issue is involving the LSB, the listeners, staff, and management to deal with these things constructively and collectively. That's, quite frankly, is something that, you know, I personally look forward to because it involves our programming as well. Youth programming, there's some priorities in programming that I'm sure that we're, you know, not hitting the target on. Yeah, we do have some successful programs, but we have some that are not so successful. So we have to redevelop our grid, and that's going to be a priority, you know, for this summer because we want those things in place before the next drive. How we do that is something that, as I mentioned in my report, that the LSB staff, management, listeners are going to be a part of. Like I said, there are no one answers. So, but I wanted to, once again, let people know my interpretation, my thoughts about what happened this drive. How come WPFW didn't make its goal? We fell $60,000 short. And despite, you know, extending the drive for a couple of days. So, yeah, that's not going to stop us from doing outreach and planning activities. And we're always open to ideas, and you've mentioned some, and we've talked about some of your own. So we're open to ideas, but as far as sustaining, you know, our fundraising, to maintain our budgets and to grow our budgets, you know, these are some areas that we're going to have to address, and we need to address them now, before the next drive in October.
Mr. Chair, can you just indulge me for one more moment? I do want to ask this one question that's a follow-up to what
You speak less than anybody else at these meetings. We welcome when you take the time.
Thank you. Again, I would like to ask, what about the youth, the young people? I'm not talking about the Decipher stream, which happens to be just one element of where our young people or younger people are, because some of them are not so young either. But
let me answer that.
But let me finish. Mm-hmm. I want to. You just mentioned these three possible events, Greg Pounce, Dr. Joyce Brew, Paul Robeson Jr., those are older people and draw in older audiences and people who know about their books and their activities. But again, what are we doing to get young people involved, and where do they come in terms of fundraising or even with some of the other stations that have a summer program for the youth, that they're going to be working at the station, interning, and all of that? We did have a program. We did have Radio Co-op, which we don't have that as viable anymore. I do want to see, as a teacher and a former teacher, where we're going to get these young people involved in a, if not a day-to-day situation, at least every week or once a month.
All right. On Monday, I'll actually be going to one of the local high schools, Suitland High School, to discuss some issues of concern, you know, with those high school students as part of an organization called Roots, the anti-violence initiative that's being sponsored by some community groups. I'll be there on Monday. We'll be recording that event. We're going to play that event back on a Saturday. And one of the ideas that I'm going to be discussing with our LSB as part of our grid change is to create a Saturday morning to our program for youth. Why Saturday morning? Because kids are usually at home on Saturday mornings. And we want them, you know, we want to bring youth into that program. We want youth to design that program, engineer, host, speak, produce. That's one of the projects that I'll be recommending to our LSB as part of our grid change. We currently have a program now called 2K Nation. You know, we'd like to enhance that program that's already in existence. But we would like to create another opportunity for youth on a Saturday morning. We used to have a Saturday morning youth program at WPFW, which ended, you know, quite some time ago. So we'd like to bring that back. I'd like to bring that back because I think it's a it's an audience that's there. I think it'll be easier for kids to listen and participate on a Saturday as opposed to a late Sunday afternoon that we have now with 2K Nation.
I see Sarv and then Don, and then back to Ray.
This question, Eva. For emergency generator on Mount Wilson, did you have an emergency generator there before or no?
No, KPFK has never had an emergency generator.
You did not have it before?
No.
I see. And when do you expect its completion date?
Well, it was two stages. The one was to implement one at the station level.
I'm talking about just the Mount Wilson.
Mount Wilson?
Yeah.
It's scheduled to be completed before this fund drive, so they're doing the last work on it now on the mountain.
So it will be done there long before the winter sets in, right?
It would be done before what?
Long, the winter sets in, it'll be done, right? Because Mount Wilson is pretty high up there. It's not an easy place up there.
We live in LA, winter doesn't set.
No, but Mount Wilson is.
Los Angeles.
Mount Wilson is pretty high up.
It's 5,000 feet above sea level.
It's 5,000 feet, you get a lot of snow up there.
And that's part of the challenge with having to get the parts up there, yes.
Okay. So it'll be done long before winter sets in, right?
It's scheduled to be completed before this upcoming fund drive, which starts on the 13th of June.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's all I have.
The representative from Los Angeles.
Griffith Park Observatory. Ron, I want to say something very positive. I mean, you know that at the LA meeting, we were talking about broadcasting to Spanish language folks in the Washington, D.C. area. And I am really encouraged because I was in touch with the woman from the Venezuelan embassy who spoke to us in Washington, and I understand you've had a program on Venezuela on the show, and friends in D.C. have sent me a poster, The United States and Latin America, Why Immigrants Come to the United States, co-sponsored by the Latino Media Collective in Washington. And the thing is, I just want to say that from a personal standpoint, because I did raise the issue of not so much Spanish language broadcasting, but broadcasting to the Spanish-speaking community, that it appears as though in Washington there's momentum around this and the Latino collective is active. So, you know, I just want to acknowledge, you know, what is happening in D.C. and wonder if you have any comments about that movement.
Yeah, I one of the things that I've learned is that to get it enhances your outreach by increasing opportunity. We get a lot of proposals for one-man shows, one-person shows, and to me that model may be viable in some instances, but to increase our outreach to communities like that, where we're trying to make inroads into various communities, we need to involve as many people as possible. So, I'm not going to say I created it, but I initiated the creation of a Latino Media Collective, because of the impetus of the Spanish language news broadcast that's going to be coming on board.
Mm-hmm.
And I've given them, you know, we have a strip of programming called Latin Flavor, which was primarily a cultural-based program. The mandate for the media collective, for the Latino Media Collective, is to create a program that not only does the cultural thing, but does the public affairs thing also.
Right.
To synergize, to merge, to fuse the two energies. Because, you know, once again, we have a successful strip already in place. I'm very proud that the program that were given this opportunity about 4 weeks ago, and they participated in our first drive and actually got pledges. So that's encouraging to me. And what I'd like to do now is to take that media collective, the show airs right now on Wednesday nights, and what I'd like to do is just spread it out left to right and take advantage of the talents and skills and ideas of a myriad of people. So it's very important that they be involved constructively and be engaged constructively. And I had only one instruction for them, and that is that the program must feature multiple voices. It must include public affairs content along with culture. And they've been able to do that. And what I want to do now is just expand that media collective, mm-hmm. involve some Latino community groups and things like that, and make it a viable, sustainable, popular program. And yes, they do some elements of that in Spanish, and they do some elements of that in English. So I'm excited about it, and I hope that we can continue that. In fact, we will continue that effort because that's the use of collectives to create a broader base of support for these programs is the way to go for me. That's the way I see it.
Well, thank you for that initiative.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Ray.
Hi. Thank you. I'm looking at KPFK I don't know what questions to ask. You seem to have a formula there to do it right. Can you tell us in what areas things improve, either financially or, in striking ways or in terms of outreach to different communities in your area? And I have one question for one. Maybe I'll ask it right away. In the discussions earlier about the Spanish language program, clearly it raised some sore issues there. You presented reactions from the dominant culture there about apprehension, fear of competition, and so on. And we know from last year, for example, there were voices, that we received letters from Latino groups and so on, and we know they have Arabs and so on. Can you also tell us what's being done and to reach out to those communities and include them within the station?
Are you talking about the Latino community or the?
Not the one I'm looking for.
Which community are you talking about?
I'm talking about inclusion of other communities within the DC area.
I'm glad you asked that because with the program, like we have African programming, okay, we have Latin programming. The one area that we're lacking is Asian programming. And this is one of the things that this opportunity presents us with, over the summer as we retool our grid, is to address those issues. And once again, we're going to approach that from a collective standpoint. We like to get, multiple Asian voices and producers and such to come in, produce a program that community will respond to, that and not something top down, but something, we just, hey, here's the canvas, what would you like to do with it? Provide them with the resources and in terms of training and things like that, to make that program possible and viable. So, you know, this is why this summer is going to be critical for WPFW in terms of redeveloping its grid, because these are some priority areas that we have to address, and now we have the opportunity to address them. So that's, once again, the using the collectives, meeting with those communities to determine what they would like in terms of a program, as opposed to just giving this program to one individual, and you know, that to me is tokenism. Okay, I really do want involvement from the entire community, because without that community support, those programs won't be supported during our drives.
Community? I know that this is the community that's under attack from the Bush administration, and I'm assuming what we see here in New York is reflected in Washington D.C. So there's a community that needs that access to information and to contact building and so on.
That's right, exactly. And they're progressives and in all walks of life, all races, creeds, and colors. And we want to open up our grid to bring those voices on air that currently aren't there. So, Greg made reference to an Arbitron report saying that WPFW was, quote, a diver. Okay? Well, that's hard to fathom when we've had record fundraising, for the past several years, But, as I mentioned in this report, stagnant program schedules do at some point come to a point where we're going to get diminished return, both in listenership and in financing. So
I didn't hear what I was asking. Mm-hmm. Are you telling us there's active plan or to reach out to the Arab community and bring them in struggle
with the Arab community? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Absolutely. We're going to invite all people to the table. We're going to reach out to those communities and once again have them tell us what they'd like to see, how we can help them, as opposed to, once again, a one-person show with lack of outreach and such. So, yes, that's why I emphasize the use of collectives. We must do this, and we must do this summer. The goal is to have all this in place by our October drive.
You had asked the question to Evett when you started that.
Yeah, I thought you felt it.
I think I remember where your question is about which areas of funding is increasing on outreach.
Yeah, so you have a Barbara. Oh, I know. It's a Streisand. I'm assuming it's a Barbara Streisand.
Oh, okay.
And others.
And the KPFK delegates are welcome to participate in this discussion. We're definitely doing better on grant writing. We have a development director that is just really outstanding, and she's been with KPFK for a year. So I had anticipated that it would take us at least 1 year to really start getting into the grants before we see money coming in. So that's happening. We're seeing money coming in from different grants for different programs. Within the next fiscal, we should see a larger increase in dollars in grants. And also because we've decided a better way for us to get money is to partner with community groups. We wrote a grant for $250,000, which is a partnership between the African American Museum and Oviatt University, and it's an oral history program, and it will be young kids, high school kids, at-risk kids, black and brown communities that work together on producing the oral histories of their families. And then producing it. It will be on air, it will be housed at the university, and part of that project is the African American Museum will teach these kids how to produce exhibits at universities, at the museum. So we're going towards more partnerships, which creates the outreach, brings in, different communities, and, we did the car donation program, which is a new program for KPFK. We established an outreach committee that's headed up by an LSB member as well as a development director. One of the things that we did was a really small but fun, nice thing. We launched a campaign for a new slogan for KPFK earlier in the year, and about 376 listeners responded. The committee then chose the winner. We used that slogan for our fund drive slogan in the last drive. And so every time, and then we've asked listeners permission to use all of those slogans. So we're inserting the slogans into when we do announcements on the air. So every time we do an announcement on the air and we use, for instance, Zarina's, slogan she sent in, we announce the name of the listener that sent in that slogan. So that creates, you know, kind of an excitement there. The outreach committee, they've been working for about 8 months on campaigns, so they're finally coming to a place where they're actually launching projects, but it's been a long-term planning process. A lot of people, including board members at KPFK, are involved with doing outreach, some on their own, some with the participation with the station. Our program council, as I said, have just started also on another outreach program where we are inviting people in, scholars, teachers, educators, youth, whoever, from different community groups to participate in the evaluation of programs. And these are communities or people that really don't have no involvement with the station. So those are different things that we're doing. The area where we really need to work on is our major active major donor campaign. We decided this last year to focus on grant writing. Our next fiscal is really to launch an aggressive major donor campaign. And we've also started with our planned giving campaign. So, you know, we kind of take one area at a time for funding. We came up with a kind of a strategy that works for KPFK fundraising, on-air fundraising. So every year we take another area where we can really strengthen and scientifically create a model that works so that you can sustain the funding in that area. So little by little, we're generating more income in different areas. 2 years ago, year and a half ago, KPFK didn't have grants income. Now we do. So I hope that answers some of your questions. I don't know if any of the other delegates want to contribute anything. We also do a lot of live broadcasts. Alan, please do.
Yeah. Is this on? Yeah, you know, the one thing I'll just add, and sorry, I stepped out for a minute and my mom called me, so I missed the report.
Not your wife?
No, it was my mom. Not Sheila. And I would just say that there was really the most unbelievably spectacular social movement this spring in Los Angeles. The first mass event occurred during the last PNB meeting, so I know the members, delegates would remember that. But, you know, what was really evident immediately is that radio, Spanish language radio, had played a huge role in the organization of that movement in Southern California. And yet at the marches, there were many people who, cheered KPFK's presence. Many people were even listening to KPFK on the radio at the days of the march. And KPFK just had a very positive approach to integrating the voices of the people who were participating in the movements and the student walkouts. I think everybody in the movement was very responsive to the station. I thought it was really great.
Sandy.
Eva, I noticed in your report there's a, could be any number without these, $50,000 grant for the youth training program that you mentioned. Number one, I want to compliment you on hiring and retaining a quality grant writing resource, and I hope that there'd be some way to share your experiences in going after grants with the other stations. But in particular, I'm interested in this one grant. Could you go into that a little bit?
Yeah. It's called Voices of Tomorrow, and we wrote the grant proposal. It's from the California Arts Council, I think. There's so many grants we write. It's in the book. What we decided, what we look at is, we envision what it is we want to do in terms of outreach and who we want to reach. So we wrote this program for at-risk youth of with a majority people of color between the ages of 14 and 18. And it's so over the summer, we will be doing 3 training programs, and it's 60 kids that will go through a 10-week training program. And so there's a stipend for them. There's travel allowances for them. Unpaid producers and programmers will participate in the actual training that happens at the station. We wrote in a $250 stipend for each trainer that will come in. It's not much, but it's a way to incentivize. So really you're involving a whole lot of different people on different levels. So that's one of the Voices of Tomorrow is one of the programs we're really excited about, because it's also a partnership. The first 10-week program is between KPFK, LAUSD, and the Chavez Foundation. And then the second training program is KPFK and charter schools in LA. And then the third one is KPFK with several community grassroots organizations that we've partnered with. And we just find that the more we do partnerships, the easier it is getting to these grants, because these grants are now being written more for partnerships rather than individual development. And we would love to share the resources. We talked earlier, Robert asked if I would make the development director available to maybe do workshops with other stations. We'd absolutely love to do that.
You invited the other delegates to comment just on that training program. One of the ideas of the money that's in the budget for the stringers is that people who become trained can quickly produce short pieces. And the amount of money is small. It's only like $50, but it helps them afford equipment and maintains the motivation to keep using the skills they get and to keep contributing to the newscast. And Fernando Velasquez, who's going to be producing the Spanish language cast, as I understand it, is a heavy user of these short segments from many different voices in the community. So pairing those things, and just quickly, many of those people may be able to submit stories that don't make it to the air, but we could eventually have a webcast of all the stories that contributed, so we can have an additional resource for people who want to track those stories over time or who want to go back to them when something happens, so that anybody reporting can refer back to previous reporting available on the web. Don?
Eva, you said that the $250 went to trainers. Isn't it true that the $250 goes to the trainees, to the youth? Aren't the youth getting a stipend to participate?
There's a stipend for youth to participate. So I think it comes to $250 over 10 weeks. It's like $25 a session. Every time they attend a session, they get $25. So either we pay it out in one or something.
Yeah, but my point is, you mentioned, it may have just been a slip, because this is, to me, very inspiring, to have youth, especially quite young youth, come in. So the kids who are being trained are given this stipend for transportation and other things. The kids coming in to be trained are given that money, right?
Yes, both.
Both.
The trainers also being trained.
The trainers.
Well, I know the trainers,
yeah,
but the kids are getting the money, which I think is important.
It comes to about $250 for each kid that participate in the program. In addition, we provide the transportation as well.
We're at time. One last comment.
Okay. I just wanted to mention also, in terms of making, writing grant applications, that the reason that what has facilitated the grant writing is the fact that so much time and planning was put into a vision, a particular vision of how to partner and so on and so forth. So once this wonderful program is developed, it's really hard for a foundation that is geared toward giving that kind of money to turn it down. So it becomes appealing by the very by virtue of its creative component, of its commitment, of its diversity, of the target audience that you're going for, and as Dave pointed out, also by the programmers who choose to use these new segments and so forth. So it's a very collective thing, and it has to start out with a particular vision, a commitment to that vision, and then you can start funding things, and this applies to anything in Pacifica, I believe.
And a quick comment, Dave. I'd really like to We also had another grant, and Debo Kutan, the guy that writes and produces live drama for KPFK, just completed a couple of weeks ago. We had a grant that we wrote. We decided to do 10 families of Katrina that was displaced into LA and tell their stories. Those documentaries have completed. They're going to be playing on the air. I think they're on AudioPort, or they would be on AudioPort in the next week or so, and would really love for people around the network to listen to this. It is so profound. It is so incredible to listen to those stories. You're going to be amazed at it, and that's just some of the work that's coming out of this grant money and involving unpaid programmers to write, to help write these grants, to produce these grants, and getting money that we're not able to give them out of the station's budget.
Thank you very much.